I'm adding name Wesley S. The disease is so powerful that it will disguise itself as an addict falling down the steps. I ask each and every one of you right now to go to the power that you serve, that is your higher power. I want to take a moment of silence and pray some healing upon Brother Gary. He just fell down. We just ask that you ask your higher power to put some blessings and some protection upon him. This ain't about me. It's about him right now. And when we do that moment of silence, I'm going to get out the way and God going to do what God do. I'm adding name Wesley S. Sorry for all that dramatic stuff, but like, you know, it's an honor and a privilege. I used to have this thing that I used to say every time that I was given an opportunity to share in Narcotics Anonymous. It's an honor and a privilege to be of service in any place in Narcotics Anonymous. Whether it be an H&I meeting, the local meeting in your area, a convention meeting, it's just an honor and a privilege. If you came from where I came from, and I know you came from where I came from, because there's a word called empathy, which is the wordless language of recognition, belief, and faith, that I need to say no more than addict. And you understand, I don't even need to say addict. There's just a essence in our spirits. There's just a way that we carry ourselves in which you can understand where I'm coming from, that just like is amazing. It's like the theme of this convention is miracles beyond measure. And you know what I want to share, I'm just going to tell my story. See, I went to the dictionary and I went into prayer and I got my prayer warriors together. See, I'm a push person. Pray until something happens. You're going to hear about God. You're going to hear about Narcotics Anonymous sponsorship. You're going to hear about those who attend our meetings regularly stay clean. You're going to hear about step work out of the step working guide. You're going to hear about the basic text. You're going to hear about all of the weapons. See, the disease is progressive, incurable, and fatal. So I can't be living on some weapons from 1953 if I'm in 2015. Now I thank Jimmy Kay and all the other predecessors and people who had the vision and the wherewithal to help us out, but I can't go into a gunfight with a slingshot. And from my experience, the disease can quote literature. The disease has a sponsor too. So, my clean date is September 26, 1990. Thank you. Now, clean time's important, but it don't make you important. Some of us got too many years and not enough days. And what I want to share is I know there's somebody in this meeting right now, whether you be an old timer, thank you predecessor, you be a newcomer. Newcomers, we need to treat newcomers as if they were children in a burning building. We don't need to beat them up. We just need to groom them. See, I was blessed that when I got clean in 90, that my predecessors were excited about staying clean, and they cheated on their wives, and they didn't pay their bills, and, you know, they had sexually transmitted diseases, and they believed all kind of crazy stuff, and they went to a meeting, and guess what? They talked about it till it was dead. Nowadays, unfortunately, you can't talk about the same thing in 15 minutes without somebody trying to tell you what step to work. Now, I'd rather step on your toes than walk on your grave. So I'm a truth teller, and I'm not my own truth teller, I'm your truth teller too, because what happens is when another addict, no matter who they are, has the courage, and the honesty to raise their hand and say, hey, I have absolutely no idea what the is going on. Can you please care enough about me to help me save my life? See, the person to the left of you, the person to the right of you, is going to be the person that is going to help you save your life. Now, I don't care whether I like you or whatever. I cannot be that petty anymore. The same people I see on the way up are going to be the same mofos I see on the way down. Now, there are people with clean time that I would not cop dope with. They're called predecessors. I used to be one. I hid behind honesty. You can't hide behind honesty. How do you hide behind honesty? It just doesn't happen. You cannot take a spiritual principle and use it in an unspiritual way and expect the benefits of the principle. It's like sucking off a lower power, screaming after it comes in your mouth about a higher power. I cannot serve two masters. My friend Sean from Providence, Rhode Island, always used to ask me, Wesley, what are you under the influence of? I serve a higher power in another fellowship. It has become almost like a new thing in Narcotics Anonymous. When I was 6 years old, I served that higher power to the best of my ability. I still serve that higher power. I will not disrespect our fellowship, but I tell you, I know I am a miracle. I know I am forgiven. I don't need any of you to justify arrest and allow my existence anymore. I know I am free. Anybody who knows me, who has had an experience with me, understands there's a couple things about me that will always be consistent. I will cry. I will express love. It is the single greatest spiritual principle in our fellowship. I was blessed to have sponsors who loved me enough to say, get with God, Wesley. Just get with God. And I'd say, how do you do that? They say, just pray. Stay clean. Show up. If God makes you uncomfortable, good. It ain't about comfort. You want comfort? Get some SAS San Antonio shoes. They're them old people's shoes that look all square. And what happens, and from my own experience, man, and it's about blood, sweat, and tears have been put in this process. I'm what they call a one-nighter. You know, I hit bottom. I said, God, please help me. And that's exactly what he did. I called my pops, John Waltz. Yo, pops, I love you, pops. And he said, all right, we'll make some phone calls. I called my mom, Mary Waltz, really Mary Catherine Schreiber. I said, I got a problem. She said, we'll make some phone calls. Look, as a small kid, I was born and raised in the projects. The projects. The projects. 4516 Clareway, Claremont Homes. There was Freedom, which was all black. There was Armstead, which was hillbillies. And then there was Claremont that was probably, I'd say, 70%, 75% black and 25% white. And we were always reminded of the numbers. And I don't say that to make this a race thing, but when you lived in the projects and you were white and you were poor and you were on welfare and you guys always had five or six of you and y'all are related and y'all always want to beat me up and shit. I ain't scared no more. Black men saved my life. Harold J. saved my life. Gay as a $3 bill, sharp as a razor. He used to call me Puddin. Puddin, you need to do a fourth step. See, my best friend Kevin was a black man. He molested me when I was little. I had no idea what was going on. I just know that shit ain't feel right. That shit was a little sore. Gotta have some humor. It's gonna get intense. If you can't learn to laugh at yourself, you're gonna go bananas. And I was confused. I was like, if he's my friend, why are we doing this inappropriate stuff? But then there's like a syndrome, there's a whole process in that whole thing where you eventually just shut down and go numb. And you also need to understand that I had attention deficit disorder. I had dyslexia. I just had all these labels long before I became an addict named Wesley S. Or a child of God named Wesley S. Or a father named Wesley S. Or a husband named Wesley S. Or a recovering addict named Wesley S. I'm just sharing my miracles. See, they ain't labels. Those things are titles. Those things are things that I've earned. Those things that I've done. You know, I look at you and I see the miracle of recovery when I'm struggling. A lot of times you represent my growth because I can't, you know, it says in our, you know, in a second step, if we pass over that step with a minimum concern, the second step says we came to believe our power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. See, if I don't forget that I'm crazy. No, because sometimes around here people want to float on water and talk about all the great things and all the good things, but don't nobody want to get to the story. You know, every year that I came to this convention, I had turmoil in my life. I was fucking somebody. I was fucking myself. I was spending money I didn't have. I was buying shit I couldn't afford. I was dressing up the outside. You know, all that Gucci, Gucci and shit that you have no idea that the disease is soft leaning you. I don't know if you know what a soft lean is. That's when they get the person closest to you, which is yourself, to kill yourself. Where the disease starts to slow walk you. Because, yo, I don't know if any of you got the memo from God or your sponsor or your support group, but guess what? After about 90 days clean, you're about as clean as your ass is going to get. And our literature says the sooner. And what I'm talking about is like my life on life terms experience, my life on God terms experience. Look, I'm not the guy I was when I got here. I was 19 years old. I barely had pubes. I was out of control. I hated myself. I wasn't prejudiced. I hated everybody. I hated myself. Why would I want to be around you? I can't stand myself. That's not prejudice or racism. That's the truth. People that hate themselves don't want to be around other people. You blow to high, whether you're getting used in or not. Depression makes you think you feel great. Wants you to tell yourself that everybody else is crazy. It wants you to create guilt and shame-based behavior to separate and isolate you from the group. Separate and isolate you from your higher power. From your God. See, as soon as you bring God into any conversation, the tone changes. Why do you think we say the serenity prayer? Why do you think we say the third step prayer? Why do you think we say the gratitude prayer? Why do you think we say the service prayer? I have 24 years clean, man. I've been clean longer than I used. When I got clean, people were applying to be my dad. I said, yo, I'm not taking no applications. I need a sponsor. No disrespect. I need a man to show me how to be a man. When I was 11, my mother showed me how to do laundry, clean dishes, boil water, cook food. I mean, when you're 11, you can only cook so good. Because she said, I'm not going to be around forever. And you need to learn how to depend on yourself. Because guess what, son? The world sucks. And you can't rely on nobody. Well, gee, Mom, I'm 11. Thank you for dashing all my hopes and dreams in the human race against the rocks of reality. My daughter just turned 11. I would never think to tell her that bullshit. Just think about it for a minute. The manifested word will manifest in your life. I talked to a woman today that loves her husband, and she wants to be with her husband. And she had the nerve to call herself the side bitch. I said, let me tell you something, sister. You keep thinking like the side bitch, you'll never be the wife. I said, you're his wife. You're his rib. You're yoked. If you love your family, go get your family. I don't care you've got 30 days. Don't let nobody tell you what you can or can't do. Pray. Show up. Do the right thing. Love your kids. Love your husband. So what he ate? He put some shit on Facebook. Facebook sucks. It's bullshit. I hope your real life is as good as your bullshit Facebook life. I come here to fuck up somebody's reservation. I told my wife I wouldn't cuss it to her. The disease wants your peace, man. I feel so unworthy at times, the brokenness of my life, man. You guys cheered me on every time I kept coming back. There's so many people in this room that have just been friends of mine. Traveled the highways and the byways. You think I just arrived to be some Saturday midday speaker? Let me tell you something, man. I would take guys when I first started. I'm going to tell you a story, man. I'm going to tell you when my recovery really took off. And I want you to understand why it's important. Because reservations are those parts of our life that rob us from recovery. Those parts of our life we won't completely surrender to the program. If you don't have a complete surrender, you are screwed. You can get mad at me if you want. Get mad at your damn self, because I ain't put you where you put you. It's sad everybody around here can tell your story, but you're the only person not telling your story. We already know who you are. Won't you introduce yourself to yourself? So look. I had 5 years clean, 3 steps in my life, writing some bullshit, 4th step. Sponsors just, you know, monkey see, monkey do recovery. A lot of times we beat people up, get a sponsor, get a hunger, work the steps or die, mofo, blah, blah, woo, and then we don't tell them how to do none of it. Newcomer be like, what? Get a sponsor, what the hell is that? Work the steps, I just walked up the steps. I'm trying to get laid. Trying to get me some $35 shoes at the $35 warehouse. I'm at the Gallo up in East Point with the $10 outfit and the $6 hat. What you mean I gotta pay child support? I'm trying to look fresh. I'm a dressed up trash can at times. I understand. Look, I had an outfit and the boots and shit. And I said, dude, it's like 100 degrees outside. You want to wear some damn cowboy boots with a layered outfit. I'm like, yo, who cares? 43 years old, I'm still caught up on the outfit. I'm telling you where I came from. Stripe Lee's, the diplomat shot, Cavalier menswear, the red shed. Flavored Levi's. The Levi jacket had to match the jeans. If they were 2 different colors, you ain't wear that shit. Russell sweatsuit. He wasn't wearing no champion shit. If you ain't have a Russell, you ain't had nothing. West Wind. You know what a West Wind is? You ever wear one of them shiny BVD t-shirts with some Bill Blast jeans and a Sergio Valente? That's how ghetto I am. You ain't got the corner on that shit. NBA starter jackets. All a bunch of bullshit. So look. Got 5 years clean, man. I got clean. I did what y'all said do. Change people, places, and things. My mother was like my running partner. Mary was like my running partner. She had money. She had drugs. She had alcohol. And she always gave me rubbers. She knew what was going on. My mother loved me so much that she thought that I should get high in the house with her. No disrespect to my mother. She's a fantastic woman. Don't you get it twisted. She my mother, so I can say what I want because it's my story. Just telling you my truth. But she loved me. She loved me the best way she could, man. And as a small child, and I'm going to tell you about my birth so you understand why you're struggling with your birth. That's a little deep right now, but get back to the story. I'm caught up in monkey see, monkey do recovery. But in the first step, it talks about that heartfelt surrender. The heartfelt, like, not just, oh God, please help me. Like, you know your ass is whooped. You look like stir fried shit. You're like, what? Everybody know you got a problem. You're the only one that don't know. I look good. You got 10 hours? Son. My mother dies with lung and breast cancer. I wasn't on the ninth step. I did the best I could. I took her to chemo for 6 months. Ate for lunch and dinner with her. Tried to just spend time with her. I'm going to tell you, you know what the most important commodity in the world is? Time. Y'all worried about money. And health is important too. Don't get it twisted. But time. Things I must earn. You will know what someone's life is about by looking at where they spend the most time. The importance of their time. She died. Was not good. Bad day for me. Worst day ever. Greatest day ever. It's wild how the paradox works. Make a phone call. I call up Uncle Billy. Union, electrician, shop steward, money out the ass, jacuzzi, blah, blah, blah. What you mean your mother died? She owes me $2,000. Uncle Bill, my mom died. I ain't got no money to bury her. How am I going to get my $2,000? Uncle Billy, my mom died. She's laying in the morgue. How am I going to get... Uncle Billy, God bless you. Thank you for whatever it is you're giving me. Have a great day. You're not getting $2,000, buddy. Your sister just died, but I understand $2,000 is way more important than your baby sister, brother. Thank you. Next. Let's call up Uncle Leslie. He's a preacher. You know, preachers are ordained and spiritual. They got direct line to Jesus. I'm going to call him. I know he's going to help me. My Uncle Buddy, I was named after my Uncle Buddy, John Wesley Roberts. I was her favorite brother. He was off. Let's just say he was off. Greatest human being you will ever meet. Had the heart the size of the galaxy. Would do anything for anyone. He ain't had no teeth, had Coke bottle glasses. Halloween, he would create all these costumes. Talented, gifted man. Used to show me porn magazines in front of me and my mom. I'd be like, Uncle Buddy. He'd be like, look at them, boy. I'd be like, Mom, what are we doing? And she said, it's Uncle Buddy. I'd go home, put my mom's face on top of the picture. Ew, it was just not nice. I mean, I'm not creepy. I'm just trying to tell you where I come from, the brokenness that I've come from. So if you want to judge me, it's okay. I'm strong enough to take your bullshit. I'm scared of you and your judgment. Shit. How am I going to worry about a room full of people that suffer from the same disease I suffer from? Honest sharing. I'm not doing this shit for shock value. This is my story. A simple, honest message of recovery rings true. I didn't create this. I lived it. So I call up the preacher, Uncle Leslie. He won't put my Uncle Buddy on the phone because now he's the caretaker of his money. And then he starts talking about Jesus. I said, look, man, I love Jesus. I love being clean. I love God. I love N.A. I need about $4,000 for a funeral. What are you, not listening to me? Is Jesus not touching your soul or something, bro? I need some help. I don't need all this Jesus and lay hands. I need some help. You know what he did? I ain't got it. It's okay. Thank you. And now the story is like a keep coming back process. It's the same thing when you need to call somebody and they don't answer the phone. Because you know now, like my buddy Frank was talking about, your picture comes up on the phone. Then it's like, well, do I really, really want to talk to this person? If you don't want to talk to people, please keep your phone number to your damn self. If you don't want to take time out of your busy schedule to answer the phone, and believe me, I'm just as guilty as other people. I am not that important that I can't at least return your phone call or at least talk to you. Crazy, man. So look, I call up Uncle Lusky. He won't give me the money. Now I'm geeking. Now, I only got 3 steps in my life, 5 years clean, going through the motions. My mother just lost a devastating life-on-lifetime situation. You know, when you're new, everything is, oh, my shoelace broke, I'm going to murder someone. Look at her. Ooh, she's fat. Forget my shoelace. I'm going to get that. Yo, look at them sneakers. I want a steak. I want a hamburger. Yo, what meat we going to? I don't know. You do 27 things in 5 seconds to wonder why you're half retarded. Thank God for the 10th step that allows us the opportunity to slow ourselves down and think for a minute. So, I get this great idea. Let's kill yourself because you're worthless anyway. Your mother just died. See, I come from a place where it ain't never going to work out. Expect the unexpected. Trust no one. Hope for the best. Expect the worst. It's messed up anyway, dude. You're involved. It's not going to work. You suck. You suck. You suck. I do not suck. I am not a loser. I am a warrior. The spirit of Jimmy K flows through my veins, brother. I was over here touching the walls. You know, I was touching the walls back in the gladiator days, back in the war days. They used to get their hands dirty to feel the earth so they could be one with it. All the blood that was spilled. A lot of blood has been spilled in Ocean City, man. There have been soldiers that sat up here and told their story even when they didn't want to. So I was just on the wall like, God, give me the strength, give me the energy. If these walls could talk, if these walls could talk. So look, I get this bright idea. Disease is having group conscience with my 3.5-step ass. I say, I'm going to do death by drug dealer. I'm going to yell a racial expletive. And I hope one of them little biker boys shoots me. And then, thank God I don't always go on my first thought. Something said, you might want to go to one of them meetings you go to and just show up. Recovery is what happens in our meetings. That's why those who attend our meetings regularly stay clean. Because you see where we came from, where we are going, and you get the answer for whatever it is that you are currently going through right next to you. And if you don't get that, you at least get a prayer. If you ain't praying, because sometimes the only time some people pray is at the end of the meeting. I don't know, maybe you didn't hear that. I go to Stone Free. It's not there anymore. Went to the meeting. Somebody called on me. You okay, Wes? I'm like, yo, I ain't for all that talking shit right now, yo. You know how you get? You shut down, don't want to share. Somebody calls on me. I'm like, man, you suck. Do I look like I want to share? He's calling on me. My mother's dead. I'm battling with the lower power thing about shooting myself through a yo. I'm dying here. Somebody, I'm in the midst of grace. I'm in the midst of mercy. My life is getting ready to change. I'm getting ready to go to the next phase of my recovery. And look, up until this point, I didn't know that I had reservations. I had reservations because the answer is in front of me. The therapeutic value of one addict is like, yo, Wesley, you're bigger than your issue right now. I'm going to love you right where you're at. I don't care if you want to share, Wesley. I'm calling on you because I need you to stay clean right now. I need you to understand that there's freedom beyond your circumstances. That everything has happened to you. It's not happening to you. It's happening for you. We are getting, there's something in life called a divine appointment. So August 23rd, 1971, it was written a long time ago that I would be here sharing about miracles beyond measure. You really want to get to a miracle beyond measure? So I say my mom died. I want to kill myself. I don't feel like using. I don't want to stay clean. I want to take something. I want to share something with you. Suicide is the second most self-centered thing in the universe. How do you even have the audacity to try to take something away from yourself that you have nothing to do with, that a power divinely blew into your lungs and said, you will do what I want you to do and you will come to me when I'm ready for you? And the second most self-centered thing is coming. Very self-centered because you want another one. I'm sorry you're not that honest. So I share. I get ganged up on at the end of the meeting because NA people are nosy. Oh my God, let's save Wesley. I ain't gotta do shit. Let's just get him some coffee, buy him some shit, pay his rent. Let's just keep him clean for 15 minutes and we'll be alright. We're all coming, Wes. Oh God, here they come. All of them, the entire meeting. I'm in a hug circle. Oh, don't touch me. Don't pray for me. Don't. Ah, I hate this shit. Why I gotta stay clean through this shit? Oh, this sucks. It's great, but it sucks. Wait till it's your turn. It ain't what happens to you. It's not the turn. It's what you do when it is your turn. You can judge me if you want. They asked me to come share. You ain't getting a message. Tell yourself your own story. Or better yet, talk about that shit that you ain't talking about. So check it out. There was a guy. His name is Jack H. He's an angel. Narcotics Anonymous warrior, saved my life. His mom had just died. That's why it's experience, strength, and hope, not experience, strength, and dope. Not theories or what you think. Well, Wesley, if my mother died, keep kick rocks and don't come back, okay? When you get some experience, I appreciate it. Pray for me that I don't choke the shit out of you right now with all your theories because my life's at stake. You know, I don't care what your sponsor said. Did his mom die? Great, give him my number. We'll do lunch. You know, people are crazy. There are people in here that want to give you shit that have no idea what they're giving away. I'd step on your toes and walk in your grave. You got to have a message sufficient enough and attractive enough to want some people in your life that want to be a part of your life. And I know I'm attractive. You might not like my delivery. That's okay. I want to stimulate you. I want you to get pissed off, excited, horny. I want you to do all the stuff that makes you feel good. I want you to pray. I challenge you to just get to a place of freedom where you ain't got to worry about the mask anymore. A lot of times I still think it's Halloween. They took the mask off, still got the costume on. And I'm just as guilty. Jack H. takes me to his house. We make coffee. We pray. I'm geeking. My mother died. What am I supposed to do? He says, look, Wesley, the Lord has laid it on my heart. I inherited a bunch of money. My mother died 2 weeks ago. I'm on death leave, man. He said, I've watched you since you've been here. I've broken bread with you. I've prayed with you. I've been a part of your life, man. And he got this thing. It was a blue thing. It was long, and these paper things were in it. It's called a checkbook. I never knew what a checkbook was because we was on welfare. And I'm just sharing the level of my growth because even when I was clean with 5 years, a lot of times it was, do I buy a bus pass or do I eat at the soup kitchen? Or have you ever looked at the basket door around in the meeting and try to find ways to steal the money? Because you know they're getting coffee and you don't know how to say, like, well, you know, I don't have any money. And they just say, come on. And you don't know that that's the code word for, I got you. And then when they do it, they say, hey, bro, help another person out. See, when I got clean, we bought people shit. We paid people's rent. You know, we did their laundry and shit. Because they don't know how to live, so it's up to us as predecessors to show them the way. And since So he took this thing and it was a check. I worked some steps and found out what a check is. And he slides it over to me and he did the most compassionate, graceful thing that has ever been done for me. He said, put in as many zeros as you want, brother. We are going to get through this together. We will stay clean. And in that moment, all my fears, all my doubts, all my insecurities were snatched away from me and dashed against the rocks of recovery's reality. And you need to understand that Narcotics Anonymous showed up at the funeral. They planned the funeral. They sang at the funeral. God bless you, Karen G. She sang a song at my mother's funeral. I love you, Karen G. My friend Angie was there. And I love my wife. My wife knows I love her, but Angie was my first love. God bless you, Angie. Thank you for being at my mother's funeral. Whether we were together or not, you loved me enough to show up for me, and I'm so grateful that you did that for me. So look, I'm going to speak this story up. Got 5 years clean, 6 months after the death. I say, all right, God, I know you're real. You got my attention. I'm going to get a sponsor, an NA sponsor. Got an NA sponsor, got an NA sponsor. And I'm going to do that NA step work they be talking about. I'm going to get past the fourth step. And then I'm going to start telling the story of how NA helped me bury my mother. And then I'm going to talk about how I had reservations up until that point. Because then I got to the second surrender in the first step. There's two surrenders in the first step. See, a lot of y'all are still surrendering to the symptom and ain't getting to the exact nature. You got to displace your faulty, broken belief system with a new way of life. If you want something different, you must do something different. Now, people say change. If nothing changes, nothing changes. I think that's a crock because the natural progression of evolution of the disease is it wants you to believe nothing is changing. It is ever changing. It gets ahead of you, way ahead of you. That's why you got to be progressive in your work, man. That's why you need to be present in the moment. Why do you think prayer and meditation is intricate, the most important part of what we do? Staying clean must come first. Monkey cannot sell bananas. I am not drug proof. I do not hang out with people who use. I do not judge people who use. But if you use, you are not a part of my support group. I pledge allegiance to Narcotics Anonymous. And if I say that I stay clean, then my behavior needs to manifest that I'm working the program. Because I need not give the newcomer any reason not to want to stay clean. Or even the person next to you who is struggling with their own private reservations that don't have the courage to say, I'm about tired of this shit. So, speed the story up. I start traveling. I become, it's hard to be famous in an anonymous program. I found my niche in Narcotics Anonymous because I tell the truth in no uncertain terms. I didn't understand why y'all kept showing up. All I know is that I fucked up a lot and I had the courage to stay clean through it, and I would go to the meeting and talk about it. And y'all just kept saying, share, motherfucker, share. Keep, I love when you fuck up, yo. I love when you do that shit. That shit let me know I'm working on something, man. I love you, man. And I'm not trying to judge anybody, but like, Narcotics Anonymous and recovery is a contact sport. You need to get off the bench and get in the game. It's too personal a process for you not to be involved in it. And when I got clean, they said, you can do anything you want. Be willing to pay the consequences. Stay clean. No matter what, Wesley. There ain't no matter what club. It's just part of the whole fellowship. A part of the program. If you want what I have, do what I do. Live life. So look, years go by. I used to suffer from a syndrome in my recovery. I was like the NA Bigfoot for a long time. I would quit jobs. I would leave relationships. I would strand everybody. And I didn't understand about the cycle and the pattern. This is about breaking cycles. My clean date, my birthday is in August, so I get a year older. My clean date's in September, so, you know, the longer you stay clean, the more you find out how much more work you have to do. So it'd be another year like, shit, I got more work to do, man. This is not getting any better. I'm getting old. I ain't got no fucking hair. Y'all getting chubby. What the? So then it's my clean date. August, September, October's Halloween. You know, whatever. It's a holiday. I'm depressed. You know, November, Thanksgiving. I ain't thankful for shit. I ain't got no family. I suck. I've been clean forever. Make everybody feel so good. I hate myself. Thanksgiving, oh God, it's Christmas, oh, I'm alone, oh, January, New Year's, oh God, February, Valentine's Day, oh, help me, it all sucks, oh! Did that shit for years. People talking about, man, you help me, I suck right now, what are you talking about? I want you to be my sponsor. Why do you want me to sponsor you? You know exactly I'm as crazy as a shit-ass rat right now, dude. Do you understand what you are setting yourself up for? Do you have any idea about what's about? You're about to witness the power. It might sound funny, but y'all kept loving me right where I was at. It was written that I'll get right. This is not even the finished product. I'm going to update this story. 5 years ago, I had 19 years clean, and I had hit bottom, jobless, penniless, homeless, spiritually destitute. I was broken. I was ready to run out of Narcotics Anonymous in a cloud of religious zeal, because all of you were sinners. And all of you suck, and it's all your fault that I am this way. Anytime that I am pointing fingers at anyone else, it is just a clear sign of not denial, but refusal. Refusal is what old-timers suffer from when they refuse to look at their current set of circumstances based upon their own lack of acceptance in the present reality. Refusal. I moved to Winchester, Virginia. Justin K., I love you. Shannon, I love you. Blake, glad you're back. Blake got 4 days. Let's give it up for Blake from Winchester. These guys saved my life. I'm from the concrete jungle of Baltimore, and I was in Winchester. They had a rebel flag behind the hotel. He had a statue of Stonewall Jackson and Robert E. Lee. Thank you for calling the Best Western Lee Jackson. Wesley speaking. How may I connect your call, please? Connecting me with pleasure. I'm so glad that I went back to Baltimore. Good friend of mine, Richie. Everybody know my buddy Richie? It's almost like we have a pseudo-homosexual relationship. We just love each other. If you ain't all right with it, you get you a pseudo-homosexual relationship. I'm very happy. We love each other. We're coming out right now. I want all of y'all to know. And my second one is Ray, Dr. Ray. A miracle. Ray R. over there. Come on, Ray. Wave to the crowd. Come on, Ray. Do it. My man! So, all jokes aside, me and Richie were beefing. I'm not always a good friend. I'll stab you in your back. I'll owe you some money. I'll talk shit about your face. Talk shit about you behind your back. I'll go on a podium and call you out. I'm sometimes a little unstable. All right. The long and the short of it, Richie just said, man, I miss my friend. Can you please come back to Baltimore? We're going to do this thing together. Justin and his wife saw that I had no social life, and I couldn't get a license. I couldn't get a car. I had to make my way. There's no place like home. My home is Baltimore City. My home is Narcotics Anonymous. I got the 5-minute sign, so all I'm going to tell you is I got to a surrender at a recovery house in Brooklyn. We had started a nonprofit with a friend of mine named Brian. We called it Recovery Inc., putting a hit on the disease. He said, look, man, I found this other place. God's laid it on my heart. I need some soldiers. I showed up. I met a man named Ray.
He said a prayer with me. I rededicated my life to my higher power. And my life ain't never been the same. I want to give a shout out to my wifey, Brenda. Love is alive in Narcotics Anonymous. Man, if you love your partner, do not hesitate to let them know that constantly. I get my daughter every other weekend to the best of my ability. My daughter is now 11. Her name is Nevaeh Alexandra Mary Shriver. I named her Nevaeh because she is my part of heaven. And I just want to close with this. I owe my life to the newcomer. I owe my life to the old timer. I owe my life to the relapser. All those members of equal importance. I just want to reach out to whoever right now is broken. Whoever right now just doesn't believe that they got it. Please do not give up 5 minutes before the miracle happens. I got your six. You are not a room full of strangers. You are a room full of friends I have not yet met. And God told me to tell you this. God's gift to you is life. The gift of God is what you do with the life you have. So I suggest that you get busy. It's been an honor and a privilege to be a service. I love you all. Thank you for letting me share.